Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the round table. We welcome you this morning. I'm sitting here with Cynthia Oliver, our co-host, and we are talking to mothers and daughters around the world. That's right, around the world. You are part of a network of mothers and daughters that are connected through the will of God to do the things that he would have us do to help fulfill his will and his glory here on the earthly plane. So, Cynthia, this morning, would you give us the honor, give us a prayer? I think Frida's not with us today.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, just thanking you for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is such an awesome privilege to sit here with Dr. Bessie Fletcher this morning. We thank her for her obedience, and we continue to thank those who are joining us monthly and yearly. We have a new co-host with us as well. Her name is Deborah Tyler. We have a guest today, and we just thank you, God, for they thought it not robbery to take part in this today. We thank God for all that he will do and that he's continued to do in this ministry. We thank you, Father God, and we thank you and ask that you bless Frida in her absence this morning, Father God. For Father God, we know that you're able, and we know that we are able because you are able. And we just continue to thank you and thank you for the course and thank you for such an awesome task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cynthia. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a beautiful day. I was just finishing up something here on the switchboard, trying to get some things done. Morning gets jumping real fast when you're doing it, right, Cynthia?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You think you have a lot of time, and then all of a sudden, it's just right upon you. Today, we do have Deborah with us, and we thank Deborah for being a part of our journey here. And then we also have a guest today is Sandy, a friend of Deborah's, I think, her professor at college. And so you know you're doing well when you invite your professor to come on board with you.
Amen.
That means you really have a bond and some connections, and there's some growth, some revelations from that, because a lot of times people running from the professor.
Amen.
They don't want to see them, and when they get through with them, they're like, oh, wow, I'm glad I passed that class, and I can move on. Well, thank God she has planted something in Deborah's life that Deborah really wanted her to be a part of this journey with us today. And I'll get to you, Deborah, and Sandy as well. All right, so let's go here. Let me get to just a few of the things that's going on. Let me announce that the Agape Multi-Purpose Center at 2230, that's 2230 Northwest 22nd Street in Fort Lauderdale. The zip code is 33311. I'm going to say that again. Agape Multi-Purpose Center, 2230 Northwest 22nd Street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Zip code is 33311. Will host a women's conference next Saturday on May the 20th from 11 to 4. I am the speaker or the trainer for that day. It's 5:20 on Saturday. We'll be going at it at 11, and hopefully we'll get it all done by 4. I know that seems like a long time. Most people say 11 to 4. Oh, man, I don't know if I could do. But it goes by so fast when you're dealing with people and their issues and their breakthroughs. Before you know it, usually I can guarantee you it'll be 5 o'clock because people will want to stand around. They want to talk and they want to, you know, deal with their issues. So I'm asking you, whoever you know in the Fort Lauderdale area, to give them a call and ask them or call us. You can email me at drbessie1, D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1, at gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1, at gmail.com. If you forget the information, you can do that. You can call me, and we'll make sure you get it done, or email me. Again, it's called Redesigning Me. And that's exactly what will happen. You will not walk in and walk out the same. You will have redesigned something about you that's going to make your journey much easier when you leave that place. Okay? And the place is Agape Multi-Purpose Center, 2230 Northwest 22nd Street, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33311. Thank you for listening to that. We all know somebody somewhere. Friends, and I've posted onto your Facebook. I want to also let the listeners know that we are based on many Bible verses, but the one that really resembles what we do the most is Ezekiel 16:44. God said, "As is the mother, so is her daughter." And I always like to say, "As is the mother, comma, so is her daughter." Because, you know, that comma gives you that break in there to give you time just to get a quick thought, you know. As is the mother, comma, so is her daughter. Think about that. Go to Ezekiel and read it for yourself. Let's see. Want to give a word out for Frida. Tell her we miss her today. And that Frida comes on and gives her share. She deals with our youth in the programming. And again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting at the round table live here in Florida with Cynthia Oliver. So we are actually in the same place. We don't get to do that very often, but I can see it's going to be more often now than ever before because of the things that are going on. If you'd like to call in or have someone call in, give them this number, 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. That's the number you call in on, most of you. We have a lot of people that's on the internet, but you can take that number, send it to someone, and ask them to join us. And that way you can call in and click 1 if you want to, you know, add your thoughts and your opinions to the conversation today. Our stimulating conversation, our topic this morning, is going to be a continuance of last week. I was not here last week, and I want to thank Cynthia Oliver, our co-host, and Deborah Tyler for being the host last weekend. And from what I heard, they had a wonderful, wonderful time. And so what we're going to do is pick up from that today and continue with a guest, and that is Cindy Eugene. I want to make sure I get those names right. Today our topic is Mothers and Daughters, Codependency No More, Part 2. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to pass the mic over to Cynthia and let her just go back to get you caught up with what they talked about last week. I'll be getting caught up too. And then Deborah will jump in there, and then they will pull Sandy in as well. I'll do the pulling and operating this piece, and y'all do the talking. Let me just go here and say good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Is it Sandy or Cindy?
It's Cindy.
Cindy, okay, with an S.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I like that. All right, I just want to make sure. You know, sometimes my eyes, I have to keep a close tab on them. I said that she said Cindy. I'm like, it's got an S. I'm saying Sandy, so I apologize for that. The worst thing you can do is mess up somebody's name. Welcome this morning. Thank you for joining us, and we welcome your comments and, you know, whatever the Lord placed on your heart, please share it. Let me get bring in Deborah so she can be a part of this. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning.
All right. So we got you both live here. And what we're going to do is go back and forth. It's just like as if you're sitting here at the round table. Cynthia's going to take up from where she left off last week. And Cindy and I just jump in there. What we do is just kind of yield and let everybody go and do what they do. So here is Cynthia Oliver.
Again, thank you, audience, for being here. We're just going to do a quick recap of the questions that we posed last week and the questions or statements, if you will, to teach what is this codependency no more is all about. First of all, we want to know what codependency is and what it is not. Then we want to show the seriousness of codependency. We want to teach who's affected by codependency, how to know you're codependent, and how to stop codependency and the behavior using the Word of God. And so last week we gave a couple of definitions as to what codependency is. One, according to Melanie Beatty, and her definitions is really quite broad. She said there are as many definitions of codependency as there are experiences that represent them. What we do know is that codependency is a pattern of unhealthy behavior dating back to upbringing, which leaves us with unresolved feelings and unexamined messages. And Socrates stated that the unexamined life is not worth living. And then Robert Fulcrum comes about and he says the examined life. So that's an interesting concept and an interesting rebuttal. Not worth living if you don't examine it, but it's still interesting when you examine it. So either way, it gets us thinking, and that's what we're supposed to be doing in this world. As God calls us higher, we are supposed to be rightly dividing wisdom and knowledge. And so one of our definitions we know we brought in last week was codependency is defined or can be defined as an addiction to people, behaviors, or things, where one finds their identity in and other persons or their addictions. So we know now what codependency is according to research, and we know what it's not. Deborah, I'm going to bring you in to give your based on where you left off last week, if you want to chime in and let us know what you're thinking, and then we're going to bring in Sandy. Cindy, I'm sorry.
Good morning. I'm not really feeling well this morning. I'm having some like stomach virus going on, so I'm just going to say that I would rather listen today and just try to let this bug pass. I got to see my mom in like a couple hours. I'm not really feeling well. I'm just honored to know that my professor's on the line. And Cynthia, I thank you and Dr. Fetcher for allowing me to be a part of this great movement of God. And that codependency for me, real quickly, is, you know, me being dependent on somebody that's probably in their addiction or somebody that's, it's just, it was unhealthy for me to be involved in a couple of relationships, drug-wise, sexual-wise, and I was just examining this morning about something had to be wrong with me for me to be dependent on somebody that wasn't even well put together, if I may use that term, and that sometimes it's almost like we attract the very thing that we're dealing with. We attract weakness. And so for me, I live the life of being dependent on other people to help me, you know, live a life of substance abuse. You know, people giving me money to, you know, to go and support a habit that I was, you know, I was addicted to. And I didn't see it like that then, but now from the outside looking in, I've been in a lot of unhealthy relationships, being dependent person and the codependent. So for me, it's just eye-opening that we, you know, we do having this discussion, and it's allowed me to see some things that I can still address. It's a little residue, perhaps, in my life. And like I said last week, that I need a session now. I need to talk to Dr. Fetcher. I need to sit on the couch. You know what I mean? Because some things have been going in my head on the codependency. So, you know, like I said, I'm not feeling really well, and I'm trying to participate, but I'm going to pass it, and if I can, to my professor and let her expound, elaborate, and let God use her if that's okay.
Oh, that is awesome. Thank you so much, and thank you. And we pray that you're feeling better real soon so you can enjoy your time with your mother.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, and that was interesting that Deborah said that, because codependent person is addicted to a destructive pattern of relating to other people. This pattern is usually learned from childhood in an abusive and or non-nurturing home or from following a set of oppressive rules. Codependency is a learned behavior. And Professor Sydney, can you come in on that point and tell us what
course.
You see?
Of course. Again, thank you so much, Ms. Deborah Tyler, for being so kind to think about me, to invite me on this amazing call this morning, considering it is Mother's Day weekend. And I want to thank all the hosts, the co-hosts, as well as all the dedicated listeners that's tuning in right now. But codependency to me is a, when you look at its definition and you look at what it means, it's spiritually, if you look at it from a spiritual content, a lot of times people don't like talking about the spiritual nature of what's good and what's bad. They always want to make it seem as though it's just behaviors. But the word says you call things as though it's not, and whatever is loosed is bound on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And so there's a lot of things that has been loosed on earth for years and years and years. And so when you see these learned behaviors, it's a generational thing. It's a generational behavior. It's a generational spirit that comes to take on the form of making that person believe that they're not able to do anything outside of depending on another thing, another person, or another item. And that's not the truth, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so when that person takes on the mindset of believing that a person is the only thing that can make them successful, or the drugs that can make them successful, or drinking, or whatever dysfunctional pattern, you have to really look at it spiritually speaking and see what issue or what pain or what trauma took place in that person's life as a child to make them believe that that is a reality. When you look at it from a parental standpoint, you know, especially when you're talking about mother and daughter, a mother can only do what she has been taught to do if she is not a firm believer of Christ. Because I believe God does not make a mistake when he gifts children, because children are a gift from God. And so if we, our womb was blessed to bring forth a child, that means everything in us, we have everything that we need. Now, unless we are raised up and put in an environment where we are taught and it's tapped into, then we're going to believe that we're not good enough, or the circumstances which the child came about is the worst thing. However, like I said, children are a gift from above. And so whatever child that you have, you have to be able to teach that child the right, make certain that you put that child in an atmosphere where they're tapped in, where they're able to be tapped into and delivered if necessary, if that makes sense at all.
It does make sense, and you brought about a very important point. A child is reared in the sense where a mother only can teach what she knows, and when a mother in herself don't know proper relationships and don't know
how to rear a child, she can, with regards to teaching that child to have proper relationships and have boundaries, then this is where we come into a big fear. And fear is the root of codependency. It's a fear of abandonment. The need to control is at the root of codependency. The root are, and it's embedded in our early child rearing years and the early memories that we have. And it ultimately leads to helplessness and not being able
Absolutely.
To think that you can live in the absence of people. Our parents
Absolutely.
Was our first dependency. We were designed to depend on our parents, but when parents don't have a healthy sense of who they are and a healthy sense of knowing what's wrong, then ultimately it is a generational thing. It's a generational curse, actually, codependency,
mm-hmm.
and it continues if we do not break that cycle. And we as parents are the responsible party for breaking that cycle. Do that make sense to you?
It does. And if I can expound on that as well, when you look at the parents in the Bible, right, when you look at the scriptures and you see, and let's just take the one everybody should know, which is Mary and Joseph. Could you imagine how this child, because remember, this is a Jewish culture, Mary was not very, you know, she wasn't old. She was a teen, right? And Joseph was well beyond his years. However, here you have a child who has been selected to carry the gift of Jesus Christ, and then to give birth to the Messiah, and then knowing who the Messiah is, and to raise him up aright, knowing who he is, knowing what he is supposed to do. And when he becomes a teen and she's looking for him, and he's like, I'm doing my father's business, because he wants to learn in the temple. Imagine how many kids a parent in this day and age who have a desire to be about their father's business, but the parent doesn't understand that, and the parent tells the child, no, we're not going to church today. I don't know why you all about this church, this and this and this and that. Could you imagine? And so if the parent doesn't recognize who that child is, that parent can now reprogram that child to be dysfunctional in a sense of, because I can't recognize your God-given truth, because I have not been exposed to God, I have not been exposed to the prophetic, I have not been exposed to deliverance and healing, I have not been exposed to certain things, I am going to teach you what I know and mold you. And then you now have a battle of identity in that child's body, which then now you have fear. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. But you know what? If we take this to an even higher level or a different level, if you will, when it talks about the religious aspects of codependency, it can go the other way as well. Because
Absolutely.
Oftentimes when parents are religious, if you will, they can turn children off from God. Because
yes,
they take what they believe that they should be doing for God, and they take it and use it as a set of rules, and children grow up with the same type of dysfunction, not wanting to have anything to do with God. So it's all about balance. It's all about knowing your responsibility to children. And your responsibility to children is not to beat them over the head with the Bible.
No.
Because even Christ didn't do that. So it's all about balance, and it's all about knowing and learning from the Word of God how we are to rear children. And in the absence of that, we are as parents are the ones who create the divide between children wanting to be part of what God would have us to do and not want to do what God would have us to do, because we take it to an extreme. So codependency also comes out of that behavior. It's a thing of control. And we don't, we cannot control children. God did not give us children to control them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we don't want to be controlled, our children don't want to be controlled in that sense. And so we can also turn children off from God because they get lost in their own authenticity when we as parents continue to try to make them be who God has called us to be. Do that make sense?
It does. It does. And it also goes back to what you said earlier. It's codependency is learned through fear. And so if our motive in educating our children is to invoke fear, then yes, regardless if your intentions or the process or the end result is to do good to the child, but if your motive is not in right standing, your motive is to make the child afraid of you. Your motive is to make the child conform or for you to control that child. Then yes, you're going to have issues. Yes, that child may show you one thing. I remember when I was young. I mean, I had a filthy mouth. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my friends would tell me, you know, Cindy, you can't use regular English. I would have a filthy mouth, but my mom never knew because I knew in the confinements of my home what I could and could not do. And so I was able to control my mouth inside of my home in the presence of my mom or in the presence of educators or anyone in authority. But around my peers, I had a filthy mouth. Now, why did I take on that behavior? You're right. Number one was fear. Number two was control, because at the time, children were meant to be seen and not heard. Right? Number three, I experienced a lot of traumatic things when growing up, you know, being raped at 7, molested until I'm 16. So I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of things festering in me that I could not share with people or share with anyone to help guide me through those emotions. And so I could have easily turned to drugs. I could have easily turned into smoking. I could have easily turned and did so many crazy things. What was my escape? My escape, because of God's grace, was school. And then because of my flesh, fighting. I fought a lot. I fought a lot of God. Because, again, I fought guys because they reminded me of my abuser, of my persecutor. And so, again, we as parents, regardless of how we were raised, we have to seek God's face to tackle every child individually, their challenges, based on how God has given us directives. Because a codependent child can become a very, very volatile adult, an adult that's suicidal, an adult that just does not care, and you will never know, which we see a lot on television. This person was a good guy. We had no signs, but he killed his girlfriend who was pregnant and himself. Why? Because the girlfriend threatened to leave. Well, if I can't have you, nobody can. And so if these things are not addressed early on, then as an adult, you see it manifesting in so many different ways.
Absolutely. And you said it best. It's all about fear of abandonment. And any time that we cannot or feel that we are going to be, because we don't want to deal with that negative emotion attached to those events. So if you threaten to leave me, yeah, I got to do something to stop you from leaving me. And so it you've mentioned the flesh, but it actually has to do with anger. And the anger that this young man or anyone who goes to that extreme feels as a result, it is, and then all the manipulation that goes with codependency, mm-hmm. oftentimes the people actually stay with them out of manipulation because they fear leaving them. And so when a person gets fed up and they decide that, you know what, I can't do this anymore, then this is where this kind of extreme comes in. Because like you said, we have simply neglected to deal with those negative emotions attached to those events. And as I hear and as I say and as I read, negative emotions don't go away. They fester. And if you don't deal with them, as you stated, at an early age, it comes back and it rules. It drives our negative behavior, and it drives us to do things that we would never think that we would do. And you're right. We either use it as a positive to keep us moving forward, like school for you and school for me, or they turn to the substances and they turn to the people and they become very codependent in unhealthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring Dr. Fletcher in on to let her share her thoughts with this. Go ahead, Dr. Fletcher.
Okay, good morning. I'm sitting here and I'm listening, and God has placed in my heart for the last maybe 6 months to narrow it down to the first part of a child's existence, and that's from conception through that 9-month incubated process within the mother's womb. And when I hear you and Cynthia talking about the fact that codependency, you know, as a child starts from a child, we can take it back to conception. Once that mother discovered that she's pregnant, most mothers have that first thought, what? That comes out of what? Fear. So that first dose of just what? The child feels that. See, they don't, most parents don't want to, or mothers don't want to go back to that time. They want to start whenever they have the baby, once we have given birth and the child is in the earth. But if you go back to Mary and you think about it, it all happened when she said, be it unto me. The angel said, you know, you're going to be conceived with a child. She took it what? Be it unto me. That was a blessing. That was a peace. That was a feeling of thanksgiving that he would honor me to be the chosen one to deliver the Savior. You see the difference as to what kind of a effect? So therefore, she says, okay, I'm carrying God's precious son. This is the mindset that we have to take our parents back into, and that's what we're here at Mothers and Daughters, to wake mothers up, because this is something that if a mother get it, then she'll be able to teach it to her daughter. And once the daughter get it, she'll teach it to her daughter, and now we got to what? We're raising up a whole new generation. That what effect won't happen when you know, I don't care if it's a teenager and she's conceived a child, God chooses the time and the person. I don't care what you say. People say, oh, it wasn't the right time. It was. God makes the decision. He's the only one. He's the creator. So once we can get past that, even though we think the life of a child is gone, and I don't promote, you know, teen pregnancies, but we have to look at Mary, teenager, God chose. But let's just get from that to the 9 months. That whole 9 months, if that child is being carried in fear, back to what Cynthia's saying, you know, being manipulated, the mother's being manipulated, threatened, you can't do this, you do this, and the child comes out, the child is not going to be peaceful. That child is going to be fearful, going to react, going to respond just like the mother responds. You ever seen a child seem like they come out the womb mean? They're just crying and will scratch at you, and I can use an example of a cousin of mine. Her and her husband fought like cats and dogs the whole time she was pregnant. And I'm telling you, as a little baby, that baby's 6 months old, and if you just get in her face and start talking to her, she will scratch at you like a, just quick. If you didn't jerk your face back, she would grab your face. Because what? She had that in her. You don't learn all that on earth that quick. So codependency.
dependency is a thing that it's sad. We all go through it, and we still have a lot of it in us to some degree, because we do like to have friends, and we do like to have, you know, people that we want to socialize with, and we want to want them to respect us. And that's a mild situation of codependency. But today we're looking at how do we take this information and grow out of some of the codependency dependencies that we are in. Like Deborah was saying earlier, you know, this has opened her eyes. And that says it all right there. We can't solve all your problems, but these discussions that we're having, Cindy, it's like just an awakening. Because once you get a thought, that thought, and you see, wow, I'm being codependent. I used to be codependent. I always wanted people to like me, and I do things because I wanted them to like me, and, you know, I'm trying to be the best person. And today I'm thinking, I'm okay whether a person like me or not. I'm going to like them anyway. And once you get to that piece of me and God, and I'm going to love everybody, then you won't really focus on the value of somebody, certain people liking you. You're just going to be who you are, and then God will show up, and then the love will show up, and then 9 times out of 10 people look at you and say, well, I don't know what it is about her, but it's just something about her. I like being around her. But you got to get comfortable with yourself so that energy can flow, if that makes sense to you. So it's a valuable, valuable conversation that we're having today. And to the audience out there, you know, don't beat yourself up. We just, you know, we're not perfect. We're all growing. We're all on a journey. And I learned a lot just sitting here listening to you all's conversation. I mean, it just inspires me. We all are growing. We all are on a journey. And we all are moving forward. And this is just going to help me look at some things, because of some things that we are engaging in now. We definitely got to look at not being codependent, except for having the Holy Spirit be our guide and our codependent person, because otherwise we don't know where we're going and how we're going to get there except through the Holy Spirit. So that's my take on it, and I'll turn it back over to you and Cynthia.
Cindy, you want to go ahead and chime in, and I'll tie it up if you want to go ahead and say something else regarding the subject matter.
Absolutely. After all is said and done, at the end of the day, based on our discussion, based on, you know, the truth behind codependency, and, you know, we've already talked about, you know, the challenges, the issues, or what have you, you know, how does one move from being codependent to dependent? And so as I believe it's Miss Cynthia that was
yes.
just speaking, correct? Okay.
Yes,
and I apologize if I didn't get your title correct, because I couldn't remember which title it was. I just played it safe by saying Miss Cynthia.
and that's all as well.
At the end of the day, in order to move out of codependent to dependent, you have to be able to recognize that, number one, is an issue. Number two, you got to be tired of the issue. You have to be tired. You have to recognize that there's an issue. You have to recognize that the issue is really, really not healthy, to now move you to a place of being sick and tired, And then three, to be willing and okay with your truth, to seek help. Because you can recognize that you have you're codependent. You can recognize that you have an issue. You can recognize that this is not healthy, right? And then you can be sick and tired of being sick and tired. But then you stay on a treadmill running and never going anywhere. You have to be able to do that active step and seek out help. Whether you're a mother, whether you're the daughter, whether you're the son, you have to be willing to speak out. Like the Bible says, you seek. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you will receive. You have to be the initiator, because 9 times out of 10, people won't recognize it for you. And so as a parent, your child may not recognize it, so you always have to have a spirit of discernment to discern the personalities, the attitudes, the comments, the this, the that. Know your child and be that person to approach them. Yes, they may not come at you the right way, because we have some children that are very interesting, that have no filter. However, that's your responsibility. It's not a choice. It's a responsibility. Until that child is now off on their own, they're your responsibility. And so we have to really, really take a stance as parents and as individuals to recognize that there is an issue. Be at a place where we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then move to the place of getting help.
And, you know, that's where we come in as educators, because oftentimes, Professor, people don't recognize that that they are codependent. You don't know how many, we had a retreat, and there was a young girl that shared with Dr. Fletcher that she didn't even know she was codependent. So codependency is not easily palatable. You can't put your hands on it. You just think that, just like your behavior and my behavior was getting school and getting these degrees, and it all came out of a codependent behavior because we were going to prove to people that we were better than what had happened to us. And mm-hmm. So the first thing, and I'm going to add to your list of things that people need to do to overcome codependency, is get professional help. Go back and get the pieces, because you can't go back and get those pieces until you prepare to deal with those pieces. And that's where the professional mm-hmm. help comes in, like Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a psychologist of some sort. You got to deal with those negative emotions attached to past events, because as we mm-hmm. stated earlier, they will fester. They do not go away. They fester. And the longer you don't deal with them, the angrier you get, even as an adult. You have to accept what has happened to you. And then you have to know that you're bigger than what has happened to you. And then you have to allow yourself to feel. You have to allow yourself to be angry to what has happened to you. Oftentimes we are in this perpetual sense of denial that we don't deal with. And that leads us to spiritual death. We don't want nothing to do with God, because he was supposed to have stopped it. And it's just easier to blame God for the evil one and the evil things that has happened to us on this earth. And so when we don't go back and get the pieces or get the professional help we need, oftentimes we don't even know we're codependent, because it's not easy to put your hands on. You're just going about your business thinking all is well. But even God gives us scriptures to tell us about this codependency. You see, everything that we will ever face, God has given us scripture to deal with it. Galatians 6, mm-hmm. chapter 9. I'm sorry, Galatians 6, 1 through 10 talks about codependency. And it will take me some time to go through the entire 1 through 10. So I'm going to challenge the audience to go to Galatians 6, read chapter 1 through 10, because God warns mm-hmm. us. And I'm going to just read the first chapter. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you will also be tempted. Because we get caught up in people's stuff. Galatians mm-hmm. 6, verse 1 through 10. I challenge the audience to read that, to see for themselves God himself. See, when we came up with the term, well, psychologists think they came up with something when they discovered the term codependency. But God knew way back over 2,000 years ago that we would be dealing with this issue called codependency. Our parents was our first codependent. And if they didn't do a good job of having balance or having boundaries and teach children boundaries, and didn't go overboard themselves with religiosity and control, then we wouldn't be dealing with this issue today. But God knew we would be dealing with it, so he put it in scripture. We did not come up with anything. We have not discovered anything. And so when we get in the habit of seeking God's word regarding all things, then we will discover for ourselves how jacked up we really are. And codependency is huge. Not one person has journeyed this world and have not had some sense of codependency at some point, because we've all been scarred at the hand of man.
Absolutely.
God tells us in verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But he also says, be careful, dude, that you don't get caught up in carrying somebody else's stuff. It's all about boundaries. And if we don't know how to set boundaries as adults, we cannot teach our children to set boundaries.
Absolutely.
Do you have any, Dr. Fletcher, you want to chime in on that part?
No.
Y'all
do a good job.
Okay. So think about that, Cindy. Think about that.
No, you're right. You're right on so many levels.
Yeah, it sends mixed messages.
So you're right on so many levels. When I look at when I journeyed into becoming an entrepreneur, I was so focused, tunnel vision, how they tell you, you know, make sure, you know, you got to surround yourself with this people. You got to be able to network and go here and go there. But as I was going and chasing and chasing and going and going and going, you know, the farther away I became from my children. And so I had to look back and say, no, God does tell me my first ministry is my house. I am married with two teens. My husband is disabled. I have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. Okay? Plus I'm in school as well. And so when I look at how I can become very busy by allowing people to take time from the 24 hours of the day that I have, that's a sense of, that's not balance. As you said, everything has to be balanced. Anything in extreme, you make that an idol. Anything. It can be your job. It can be your relationship. It can be whatever it is, because this is something where you have to have it all day, because it gratifies a hole in you. And so you are so right on so many levels that it's a balance effect. It truly, truly is a balance effect. And we ought to, as parents, really, really, really be very sensitive to the environment in which we are exposing our kids, not only inside of our home, but inside of our cars, when we're driving, at the restaurant, when we're dropping them off to school, wherever they are, because they're watching us. They're not listening to what we say. They are watching our behaviors. When we are upset, how we do with conflict resolution, if we even know how to deal with conflict resolution. Are we lying? Are we being true, sincere Christians? What are we practicing? And those things speak volumes. They
absolutely
do. And so you're so right. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut across you. I thought you'd break there for a moment. The number one codependency element to me is money. And you said that just a few minutes ago. We are so codependent on the dollar bill that when you realize you were chasing that money and took your eyes off the prize, which was your children and your husband, that family, and that's the way the enemy works. He wants you to think money is the answer to everything. And God said, if you seek me, seek the kingdom, I'll add all things to you, meaning that there's nothing. He said you won't have to buy a car, a house, or land. Those things will be just given to you if you seek me and believe me. But the enemy wants us to think, oh, there's, you got to get up that ladder. And I tell him, I said, what ladder? There is no ladder. That's an imagination. People, the ladder of success, the ladder of this. You never see no ladder of success. But people get caught up. We get bought into it. And that is the codependency of trying to depend on, if I can get enough money, I can prove something to somebody. They'll see me. I can buy this. I can be this. Because money is the codependency that we're running and chasing after.
Amen. And I'm going to take it even higher than that to a level of religiosity. If a mother
yes.
is spending ultimate time in the house, if you will, because we are the church, and neglecting her family, that ain't God. That's just a whole bunch of busyness, a whole bunch of just trying to be accepted and want to be part of something. And we got to be careful with that. Because you're teaching your children to neglect their family, the family life. They're not important. They're in the church nine nights out of the week, and it ain't but seven. Think about that.
You're right.
We are you can't. I tell clients all the time, you can't even handle too much of God, because then you just become fanatical, and nobody likes
absolutely.
Anything in its extreme. So we ruin
absolutely.
Our children in that sense, too. Because if you're neglecting
absolutely.
Your family, that ain't God. And I don't care what no pastor says, that is not God. Because it's all about balance. I never forget a
balance.
Pastor said this to somebody I know. He said, baby, if you got to pay your rent as opposed to paying your tithe, pay your rent, because you can't come live with me. That made sense to me. Because you have to teach people to have balance. God knows your heart. He knows what you're working with. And even women have been, I promise you, and I don't think a friend of mine will have me trouble sharing this. I wouldn't give names. But I tell you, this is a young lady who will give her last. She has given her last over the years. She's been evicted so many times because she had that thing twisted. She will give her last to the church, and there's nothing wrong. Yes, God tells us to pay our tithes. But you have to be mindful, and you have to know balance. You have to know boundaries, because your first ministry is your family. Because God said it, I didn't say it. And if you're neglecting your family, you are building a dysfunctional household.
What is your intent?
And what is and yeah, God tells us not to give out of necessity. See, sometimes we become so desperate that we give it all, but God can't even trust us in it all. And that's a whole nother title, because God showed me three kind of Christians, and I'll share that with you guys at another time. He can't trust none of us if we are if we don't have boundaries. There has to be a boundary in everything that we do. If we are not going to raise a generation of dysfunctional children that leads to codependent relationship, you have some people just totally dependent on the pastor to deal with their issues, not knowing how to think for themselves. Think about that.
And you said so many amazing things, and it all goes back to identity, not knowing who you are. Not having your own relationship with God, depending on someone else outside of you to gratify your needs, to solidify how you feel, to all of those things, which is all in essence codependency. Sometimes it may not always be the money. It may not always be the ministry. It may be something deeply rooted within the person. Because everybody's situation is different. And sometimes, like, you're right, the way we have been trained growing up in terms of the truth, as we get older in terms of not in age, but older and wiser and understanding the scriptures for ourselves, we now realize that we have been bamboozled and we've been taught religion and not kingdom and not
come on
godly principles, you know, godly principles. Because, you know what I mean? Yes, when you give, you got to be able to give on good ground. When you plant a seed, you got to be able to call it something. You can't just give principles. You got to call that seed. There's so many principles that we don't have the opportunity, unfortunately. And a lot of the churches that you see, unfortunately, in the African-American community, It's not taught that way. It's taught, all right, you come to church, you serve, you join a ministry, you do this, you do that, you give, you give, you give, but nobody's teaching kingdom.
The proper way to
teaching. Nobody's teaching you, all right, building your own relationship with God, because God can speak to you too. He doesn't always, yes, the pastor is there as the shepherd, and for you to submit under his leadership in the confinement or in the scope of the church. However, the pastor is not the head of your house. Jesus is.
Come on now, because we are the church.
Yes. The pastor is not the head of your finances. The pastor is not the head of your children. Jesus Christ, the Savior, is. But unless you are in an environment that really promotes you learning and having your own relationship, and really are big on teaching and not pastoring, you're going to find a lot of people in the church are walking zombies. And then you're going to have them teaching their children these practices that is only going to lead them to becoming codependent, right?
Amen.
I understand.
Amen.
We teach our
Amen.
Kids, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. You understand? That's no problem. A sense of respect. But you can't, you're 40-something. I mean, there's a time and place for
you. And you can't think for yourself. We're going to have to wrap it up here. We're getting close
Lord,
to the
have
end.
Mercy.
I'm sorry to cut you off. But what that really teaches us, it teaches us to deny our own feelings. And we are afraid to speak
yes.
up for ourselves, even in the house. But this is where it goes back to parenting. If we're not there, if we're busy chasing the world and chasing that dollar, we're not at home to teach our children boundaries. We are the first teachers. And if we neglect to teach them, they get lost in all of the hoopla like the parents are. And so we are responsible, parents, to teach our children not to deny their feelings. And that's why children don't come to parents when they're being violated, even in the church. Because they have been taught to deny their own feelings and their own emotions. And if we don't get it together, ladies, mothers, our children will repeat the cycle. And that's my take on it. I say thank you, Professor Cindy, for joining us today. We would love to have you on again so we can continue this conversation at a different time. So, audience, we thank you. I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Bessie Fletcher and Ms. Professor Cindy. We will talk to you later.
Wow, that was really wonderful.
Amen.
Y'all did a great job
Amen.
This morning. I know someone was blessed. I know there are blessings out there flowing, and that's what we are about, sharing the good news. That's all we asked to do. He said, I just asked you to share the good news. As you get revelation, share it with someone else. And give them revelation, and that's keeping it going, keeping the gospel going, and Jesus Christ still alive in our conversations, in our minds, and in our hearts. Hold on one moment, Cindy, and I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, that's our show for today. Thank you so very much, Cindy, and thank you, Deborah, for participating, and we hope that you feel better, and we'll see you guys. Thank you, audience, for participating. We'll see you next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Have a blessed day, and remember, think about it. What areas in your life are you codependent? Just think about that. Write it down. Are you codependent? Are you dependent on someone to help you make it to the next level? That's fine if you got someone that you're working with, but think about, are you codependent? That's a whole different
view, codependent. All right, God bless you. We love you. Thank you, Cynthia, for such a wonderful show. God bless you. Bye-bye.